Hey, this is Pastor Ryan. Thank you so much for joining us. I know God has a word for you today. I hope you really hear it deep down in your spirit. I pray you feel encouraged and inspired to keep chasing Jesus with all you've got. If you'd like to support the ministry of the Branch Church so we can continue to connect those far from God to the life-giving vine of Jesus Christ, you can do so at branch.church/give. Now let's get to the message. All right.
All right. Well,
let's go to work.
Jumping into a new series, and I'm really excited about this series because a while back I actually heard a sermon from another pastor that I was listening to, and in it he mentioned like what does the billboard of your life say? And it just, God just dropped some stuff in my heart immediately. And so we want to jump into this series today about what's on your billboard.
What's on your billboard? Okay, think of billboards. You're driving down the road. You see things on the side. You see a billboard of like a cow.
With a sign.
With a sign. What does the sign say?
Eat more chicken.
You didn't even have to tell you.
Some of them don't even say
this is for farmers of America. No.
But for real, like, some of them don't even say Chick-fil-A on them. They just have the sign with the cow with the sign that says, eat more chicken.
Or if you see a gigantic golden M in the air, what are we advertising?
You know what? When I see those, my mouth automatically, like, salivates, right? That's the right word.
They're
fries. Like, they're trash. They're so bad for you. Like, they don't change. They just get hard. They don't mold or anything once they've sat in the bag in a car for, like, 10 years. Okay? But something about those.
Or if you're on a long road trip, Caleb, give me the first one. You're on a long road. No, the other one. I'm sorry. You're on a long road trip and you see this one. Oh, come on. It's just too easy. Buggies.
There's something about it that's like, I can hold it for 171
miles.
For those clean bathrooms and the cheap drinks and the good foods. It's like Cracker Barrel and
a
gas
example.
Station, like, got married and had a baby. Just saying.
And then you see the ones that just bring a smile to your face because of how clear and brutally honest they are. Let's see this one. Too hot to keep changing the sign. Sin bad, Jesus good. Details inside. Like, what more could you need? Like, this is just so perfect. So we have a question early on for us today, okay? Early question. Does the billboard of your life attract people or repel people to Jesus? Because this is what we're talking about. Billboards are there, you know, so billboards, they're meant to be seen from an outside perspective. All right. So they let people know what's coming up. And even in this digital age, billboards are so prevalent because they work. Have you all ever got caught reading billboards and it said, you just proved billboards work? Yeah. I'm angry with that one. I'm like, no. But every time, like, you're there, you see it. It tells you something. There's even some pretty cool ones that, like, change every so often. And so one time you're driving through and it's like, ooh, eat more chicken. We should get Chick-fil-A on this road trip. And then, like, you're on the way home and you're like, maybe I should go get those orthopedic shoes. I mean, it's just so random. You buy, like, moments in time on a bill. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But like billboards, we too have the capacity to change what we present to the world. And I thank God for that. Yeah. Most of y'all don't know who I used to be. All y'all see is the pretty polished Pastor Ryan kind of guy. But y'all don't know who I used to be. The picture I presented to the world wasn't this. My billboard has been washed white as snow, covered in the blood of Jesus. Yeah. And sure, my edges need cleaned up a little bit, don't they?
Sometimes.
She'll tell you the truth. But my billboard's not perfect, but now I'm a marketing team. I'm a strategic marketing tool for the kingdom of God. And this is very freeing because my billboard isn't pointing to me. It's him.
Yep. So your life and all aspects of your life are a reflection of your faith.
Yeah.
Your words, what come out of your mouth, they reveal what's in your heart. Your actions confirm or deny the words that come from your mouth.
Yep.
Your outlook on life points to your hope for the future or your lack thereof.
Yep.
Either you're full of hope because you know how your story ends, or you're trapped in anxiety and distrust because you don't trust the one who holds your future.
Mm. Good.
Because if it's not Jesus, that responsibility falls on you. Your
can't
outlook,
hold my future.
Nah. I don't want my outlook on life to depend on me. I want it to depend on Jesus.
Come on.
Okay? So every part of your life is a reflection of your faith.
Yeah.
And the people see your faith or lack of faith on display every single day.
Yeah, they do.
So today we're digging into the public marketing of our faith.
Come on.
Okay?
Get us together.
I was a business major. Marketing, like, there's just so many things to it, okay? But we have the possibility, the potential to market our lives to glorify God and point people
yep.
to Jesus.
Yep.
Or we have the ability to turn them away. Over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be talking about what's on your billboard.
Yep.
And our billboard can either attract people to Jesus or away from it. And the purpose of this series is to really take a self-evaluation, an inward look, and a spiritual evaluation to discover where our priorities lie. Are you growing? Do you
yeah.
resemble a disciple?
Yeah.
Are you more focused on what people think of you or what people think of him?
Do you resemble a disciple?
Mm.
That's a good question. For all our note takers, that's a good question to write down and ponder from time to time. But listen, for our billboards to give the right message, we must first strive to be like Jesus, right?
Yep.
That's this message we want to present to the world. We want to be like Jesus. Well, what does Jesus say? We got to go to the Word. We've gotten this far in the series, in the sermon and haven't even opened the Word of God. Man, what's wrong with us?
I
blame, well, me. Anyway, John chapter 13. 34 and 35. Here's what Jesus said. A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciple. If you love one another. It's as if all of Jesus' teachings up to this point have come down to this one thought. Simply love each other as I have loved you.
Yeah.
It's cute. It's easy to say. Like, just love one another. It's all love, baby.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Some people are kind of hard to love, though.
Well, that's true, too. But there's not a caveat in here. There's not a caveat in the Bible. Like, love easy to love people. No. It just says love people.
Yep.
And so if this is the goal, then we have to define what this kind of love is.
Yep.
All right. So here it is. This, what Jesus is talking about, is an agape style love.
Yes,
okay. This is a self-giving, sacrificial love. This type of love seeks the benefit of other people over yourself.
Yep.
If you find someone to love you like that, don't let go of them. This is really hard. Who wouldn't want to be a part of a branch? I mean, a church who loves people like this. By the way, that's who we are. We love people. That's just what we do. Okay, cool. Sorry. I'm not going to get sidetracked. If this type of love is absent within the body of Christ, people outside of the body of Christ will get a very irrational view of Jesus' love for them.
Yeah.
And so to say that just a little bit differently, if this kind of love is absent within this church, people who are not part of the kingdom of God will have no reason to want to come in.
Yeah.
No part. We are supposed to be going to the highways and hedges and compelling people to come to Jesus. But we won't accomplish that if we're just fighting with one another all the time. We won't accomplish that if we're constantly gossiping about one another. And we won't accomplish that if our words, our actions, and our outlooks aren't any different than that of everyone else. The way you even view life, should be markedly different because of Jesus in your life. The way that people view Jesus in you, your billboard, should be markedly different than cultural Christianity. There is a distinct reason for the hope that we have. It's because Jesus loved us first, and we know how our story ends. Jesus says that the way that we love one another will prove to everyone that we are his disciples. And so if your life, if your billboard doesn't point people to Jesus, you're doing this Christian thing wrong. It's just that easy. The way in which you love people is the billboard of your life. Either you're attracting people to Jesus or you're repelling them from him. You know, this might take an honest conversation with the person who knows you best. So like a spouse, for example, you simply walk up and in a moment of vulnerability, you say, "Hey, what fruit do you see in my life?" And just listen. And then the hard part, you have to ask the inverse of that question. What fruit do you see missing from my life? And if you're open and vulnerable enough to hear them, you might actually catch a glimpse of your own billboard. You recognize you can't even see your own billboard, right?
That's a good thought.
What fruit do you see in my life? What fruit do you see missing?
If we're supposed to love people like Jesus commanded us to do, love like Jesus, how did Jesus love people? Well, Jesus continually pushed the boundaries of what was considered social norms or social convention. He shook up the status quo. He rocked the boat.
Yep.
Okay? He would probably make many of us squirm in our seats today if we really took a look at the people that Jesus chose to bring around the table.
Yeah, we would.
You see, Jesus brought the poor, the political opposition, children, religious hypocrites, the demon-possessed, the physically disfigured, the social outcast. We read about the Samaritans. They were socially despised. The tax collectors, the lepers, the prostitutes, the sexually immoral. You see, we live in an offended culture today, and I guarantee you that these people would have been continually offended by Jesus.
Yeah, absolutely.
The gospel was and is offensive.
Yep.
It's the most divisive book on the planet.
Yep.
The gospel challenged preconceived ideas. The gospel paints life in black and white and sin and holiness. This offends the masses who live in the gray areas where truth is relative. Truth isn't relative. Truth is truth. One of the greatest offenses of the gospel is not who the gospel keeps out, but who it lets in.
Yep, that's right. That's good.
That's a word.
You look at the Sermon on the Mount, the Good Samaritan story, the woman at the well, the woman with the perfume, Jesus touches the unclean leper. All of these stories reveal the deep level of love that Jesus has for you.
And I think part of the beauty of this is that within these stories, the Sermon on the Mount, the Good Samaritan, the woman at the well, the woman with the perfume, Jesus touching the unclean leper. I think the beauty of this is that we can see ourselves in these stories. I think we'd like to see ourselves as the Good Samaritan, but who are we kidding? We're the beaten, broken up, bloody guy laying on the ground. And Jesus loves us. Sorry. You go.
Okay, so Jesus put his radical love on his billboard to attract everyone around him to eternal life.
Yep.
Jesus created a safe place for people. A dinner table, a party, a conversation, a chance run-in. And yet, we love to draw boundary lines that include ourselves and exclude others. Mm. It's our pride, our sinful nature, our desire to be right.
That one.
And yet, we know the following about every single person. We are all made in the image of God.
Yep.
We've been purchased and redeemed through the work of Jesus on the cross.
Yep, come on.
Our past, anyone you come into contact with, past, does not disqualify them from God's grace or yep. God's mission.
That's right.
In a cancel culture world, we, the people of God, are people of redemption.
Yeah, we are. It's good.
Who wouldn't do a double take on a billboard like this? One of the signs of the gospel is taking root in our lives is that we move into compassion and love for those that we have struggled to love.
That's hard.
Our enemies, outsiders, people who have been awful to us. The problem, many Christians fail to love people unconditionally because they're afraid their love will be misconceived as accepting their sin or lifestyle. We're often more vocal for what we're against than who we are for.
Yeah,
for sure. That's hard. Be right than loving.
Yep.
Jesus was constantly overstepping the boundaries and tearing down the walls that divided people. And Jesus loved people hard.
Yeah,
he stood for the oppressed. He recognized the unseen. Jesus flipped tables, but it was in holy anger. We've all heard this used and overly used, right? Okay? But we got to, I've preached on this before, but we hear it a lot, okay? Jesus flipped tables too. But it's important to recognize why Jesus flipped the tables. He was mad at the oppression that was taking place in the temple.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
As imitators of Jesus, our emotions should mirror his. This emotional mirroring is not mechanical, but it's a natural result of relationship with him.
Right.
So holy anger is not driven by a desire to judge or get revenge, but to love people and set them free.
Yeah.
This is the marketing strategy of Jesus' billboard, pointing people to freedom. Part of loving people is loving them enough to fight for them.
Yeah, that's right.
Loving them enough to see past their sin and shame, and to see them for the son or daughter of God that they are. It's super simple. Jesus loved people.
Yep.
And if I'm going to be like Jesus, I'm going to love people.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, so that kind of brings us to the second thing that Jesus did that we should follow in his footsteps if our billboards are to mirror his. Can I just back up?
Yeah.
Like, The emotional mirroring. Mm-hmm. God, y'all understand God gave us all the emotions that we have, the anger, the love, the even the jealousy. Like that's an emotion that we have. God is jealous for us. We need to be jealous of his time too. Like all of these things. But the moment that we add any dash of ourselves into those emotions, they turn from righteous anger flipping the tables into Ryan lost his temper. Emotions are good and they're healthy and we have to process those in a healthy way. Sorry. The second thing, I'm not sorry. Who are we kidding? The second thing that Jesus did that we should follow in his footsteps if our billboards are to mirror his. Okay, so does the billboard of your life attract or repel people to Jesus? Does your billboards reflect Jesus' billboards? And how would you even know? Well, I'm glad you asked. That's a great question. Well, Jesus said it like this, Matthew 7:15-20. Watch out for false prophets. Problem with false prophets is most of them don't know that they're a false prophet.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
And many of them won't know until the judgment. That's really hard. This is why it's vital that you work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I'm not standing with you in front of God when we die. Neither is Pastor Amanda.
Neither is your mama.
Neither is your mama, your grandmother's faith. Like, that's great and all, but it's just you. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by your fruit, you will recognize them. By their fruit, you will recognize them. Fruits like, I don't know, your words, your actions, and your outlook on life. All of these create the billboard that people see.
Yeah.
Okay?
You know what an attitude or an action of your life is?
What's that?
Your attitude.
That's true too.
That's a big one.
I think I would lump that into outlook. Yeah.
Well,
anyway.
Your outlook can constitute your attitude.
This is true. This is how we communicate. It's fine. We're not arguing. We're on the same page. Got it? Good trees and bad trees. Good trees and bad trees. Listen, it's really easy to spot a bad fruit most of the time, right?
Mm-hmm. I hate when our fruit goes bad.
Ugh.
You know what the first thing I notice is before I even know the fruit's bad? Gnats.
Gnats.
Oh, those things, man. I've tried everything, like... I hate gnats.
Even if like the fruit's not super bad yet, it's gonna be. You know what? There's a lesson in the gnats here. It's not in our notes. The sweetness of your fruit will attract everyone. Those people. I probably shouldn't get too deep. But the sweetness of your fruit will attract everybody to the Jesus in you. Right, the good and the bad. It's easy to know if fruit is bad, mostly just by looking at it. You can see the gnats first, but then you see like that green fuzzy orange. You know what I'm talking about? We've all had those fuzzy oranges in our house. Don't act like you haven't. It's there. It's been there. Or like the blueberries you push to the back of the fridge because you forgot they were there. And like a month later, they're hairy. You know what I'm talking about? You can tell when fruit is bad. Yep. It's really easy. You know, the old saying is super true. Like that one bad apple spoils the barrel or ruins the barrel. I don't remember exactly how it goes, but that's what it is. That one fuzzy orange that's in your, what's the twisty thing? Lazy Susan? Uh-huh. And whatever fruit it's touching, that's getting thrown away too, because I'm not taking a chance.
Right.
It's all got to go.
I'm like, I don't care how much I paid for a thing of apples. If one of them is like mushy and moldy, or there's a moldy orange, if any of it that it's touching, it goes in the trash. Okay. Like, it's just gross. Nobody wants it.
It's easy to tell that one moldy orange is going to infect all the other oranges. That one overly negative and pessimistic person is going to infect the entire community that they're a part of. And their fruit, we all know people like this. It's hard to be around them because the fruit of their lives is bitter and leaves a bad taste in your mouth every time you have to interact with them. Don't be that fruit. Don't present that picture to the world. That Christians, that followers of Jesus are bitter and hard to be around. We are going to infect the culture around us, or we're going to shape the culture. That's kind of what we say. We shape culture. We chase Jesus and shape culture. We will infect the culture around us, but we will deliver an infection of love and of grace and of mercy, because that's what Jesus does, and that's what attracts people to Jesus, to build the body of Christ. But what about those times when you don't know that the apple's bad? This might even be worse. It's... You still pick it up because it's not moldy on the outside, and you take a bite and like your lips could bite through it. You know what I'm talking about? It's like, oh, and it just like dissolves before it hits your teeth. Grah! Yuck.
I was a little hungry, but I'm good now.
Yeah, no, I'm fine. Right. We're fasting anyway. It's all good. The problem is those times when you can't tell from the outside. I don't know if y'all know this, but sometimes people will even put on like a fake outside to deceive people. I know y'all wouldn't ever do that. I get that. I see you. I know you. I know you wouldn't ever do that. But that's what happens sometimes. But the problem with this is that the first bite, the first taste of their heart will reveal the infection within. And so if you just can't see it, spend time with them. If people are buying the phony billboard that you're putting up, just a few moments with you will reveal what's in your heart. The problem is that what's in our heart always finds its way out. Jesus said it like this, and he's referencing the Psalms, out of the mouth, the heart, out of the mouth, the heart speaks. And so just as fruit indicates the nature of the tree, whether it's good or bad, so does one's life indicate the nature of your heart. You can paint a pretty picture of your life, but your words and your actions and your outlooks will always come through eventually. There's no way of hiding the deep intentions of your heart. In one way or another, they will always come to the surface. Is your billboard just a wolf in sheep's clothing? Do you only let people come close because you know you can get something from them? Do you only invite people into your life because they can do things for you? They can build you up. They can make you look good. Is your billboard a wolf in sheep's clothing? You know, you might know the right things to say in the moment, but your fruit will always rat you out. You may know the right moment to paint your life in your billboard with repentance, but your heart will always rat you out. You can know the right moments in the song to lift your hands. It's on the bridge. Does everybody know you lift your hand when we get to the bridge of the song?
Or if the song says
lift your hands, then of course you lift your hands. But it doesn't matter if your heart is not bent towards worship. What's in your heart will always come out, and you will resent worshiping because that's not who you are. You've just whitewashed your life with a picture of praise. Jeez. It's for the gram. I think today is a call to strip back the layers of clothing, the layers of paint that we've added to our billboard day after day, life after life. We're trying to paint this picture, and we have to surrender what we portray to the world to the life-changing transformation of the Holy Spirit.
Have you ever seen the billboards where, like, you can see all the layers where they just like painted the new billboard over, and it just keeps, you can see the corners peeling back.
Right.
And if you're not careful, that's going to be what happens to you unless you give it all to God and you let him wipe it clean.
Yeah.
Not just put another layer up.
Right. That's not what Jesus does. Jesus is not an additive to your life. He is life. Golly, you know, this all comes down to us, you, me, I, whatever we've been. We will be known by our fruit.
Yep.
Are you dependable? Oof. Are you truthful? Are you loving, joyful, peaceful, patient, kindful, merciful, all the fools? These are the fruits that will entice people to Jesus. But the opposite is true as well. If you're a lazy, lying, unloving, impatient person, those fruits will turn people away from Jesus. They'll turn people away from your life and from the body of Christ as a whole. Regardless of what comes out of your mouth, regardless of what religious group you subscribe to, your fruit will either attract people or repel people to or from Jesus, and that should cause a holy pause in our lives. It should cause a holy pause in the way we choose to live our lives. Are you offering fresh fruit from the vine, or are you serving up a plate full of gnat-infested moldy mush?
Yeah.
You can come to church every week and think you're perfect. But listen, even your social media posts will rat you out.
Yep.
The things you retweet, the memes you send back and forth with your friends, they will all either attract or repel people to or from Jesus. We are in desperate need of the Holy Spirit to reveal our blind spots.
Yeah.
Because, again, you can't see your own billboard.
And ultimately, if your billboard doesn't point people to Jesus, you're doing it wrong. Does your billboard attract people to Jesus, or does it attract people to you? If you walk in a room and you have to have the attention, you're not pointing people to Jesus, you're pointing people to you.
Yeah.
You want to point people to the Jesus in you. Are you a marketing scheme for Jesus or for your accomplishments? Does everyone have to know your status?
That's hard.
For those that are watching your life, because you know people are always watching.
They're always watching.
Always watching.
If you have kids, they're always watching. And they hear everything.
Oh, I promise you, your kids
they're listening.
You out. Okay? Your kids rat you out. They tell all. I've taught, I've been in these classes. I've heard some things, y'all. Okay? Be careful. Okay? But people can tell whose you are by your fruit.
Yep.
Now, does that mean that we're all perfect and we're never gonna mess up? No.
Of course not.
We're all sinners falling short of the glory of God. We mess up. Our kids have told tales on us back there.
That's true.
Okay? It's not just y'all, it's us too. But you see, you have to ask yourself, who are you promoting? Because you know what? We all do fall short of the glory. We all fail.
Yeah.
But you know what happens? When we ask, when we repent, we're forgiven.
Yeah.
And so if we want that forgiveness, we have to be willing to give forgiveness to others as well.
Yeah.
And so if you are holding and harboring bitterness for someone and how they've wronged you, your billboard isn't promoting Jesus. Your bitterness is taking over.
It's
now,
so hard.
I could go on for a long time. Forgiving does not mean forgetting and allowing people to walk all over you and steamroll you. That's not what forgiveness means.
Right.
Forgiveness means releasing people of the hold on your life and forgiving and not continuing to hold that one thing over their heads and in your heart against them.
Yeah.
So, what does your billboard say? Who are you promoting?
Yeah.
Y'all jump to your feet with me real quick. So for real, today is a call to ask Jesus, ask the Holy Spirit to strip away all the extra layers. Strip away all the extra layers that we've added that, ooh, this would look good if I stuck it here and people can see that. And then I can hide all of my flaws if I put a big sticker of the Branch Church right here. Ha ha, can't get me. We gotta get the junk off of our life so Jesus can shine through. Each and every one of you have been called by God to go into the world and make disciples. That's your call as a believer. But if what you're presenting to the world isn't matching what's coming out of your mouth, you've got this dichotomy that's going to confuse people. We're not going to know whether we're supposed to just follow you or follow Jesus. And so today is a call to strip away all of that stuff. Ask Jesus to wash my life. Get rid of all the junk. Get rid of all the sin, the harmful habits that are dragging me down. Cleanse our hearts. And all of this is because Jesus loved you first. This may be like your first introduction to who Jesus is, and all you know about him from today's message is, well, he loves me. I want to tell you really quickly how much he loves you. Jesus was with God the Father and the Holy Spirit in heaven. And he looked down and he saw you. And there were all of these major hoops that we had to jump through to be forgiven so we could spend eternity into heaven. And Jesus said, there's a way better way. It's going to be terrible for me, but it's going to be way better for everybody else. So he left heaven. He had everything. He left heaven and came to earth in the form of a baby and led a painful life.
A mediocre life.
Yeah. He only traveled around his like neighborhood effectively. Like if he lived in the state of Mississippi, he never would have went outside. He's just been in our little area. And he's changed the world because he lived a perfect, sinless life. And he was able to offer his life as the perfect sacrifice. The Bible says there is no forgiveness from sin without the shedding of blood. Jesus was crucified. I mean, he was nailed to a cross. His arms were stretched out and his shoulders pulled out of socket so he couldn't pull himself up. He had to push his feet up on a nail that was driven through the middle of it just to take a breath.
Right. But he left heaven knowing that was his fate.
Yeah, this was the plan.
And you know what? He would have done it for just you.
Yeah. And the beauty of this is, the Bible says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus died for us.
Think of your worst day. The worst place you've ever been. And think about the kind of love that it would take for somebody to sacrifice everything just for you in that moment of your dirtiest, ugliest time. That's how much Jesus loves you.
And our response to this love is to accept Him in our lives as our Savior.
Yeah.
That means He's going to take all of our sin and throw it away. And so when God looks at us now, He doesn't see our mistakes and our sin. What He sees is the image of His Son. He sees the reflection of His Son on your billboard. And then we get to spend eternity with Him. So we accept Jesus as our Savior, but then we spend our lives serving Him as our Lord. So if you're in here today, and you're like, you know what, Pastor Ryan, me. I've tried everything to cover up my stuff. I've put so many layers on. I need Jesus to come and wash it clean. So if you're in here and you're like, Pastor Ryan, that's me. I need Jesus in my life. I want Him to be the Lord and the Savior of my life. Would you just shoot your hand up real quick? I'm going to acknowledge you. Yes, ma'am, I see you. I'm going to acknowledge you. We're going to say a simple prayer. There's no magic in these words. What happens is supernatural. One more, just a few more seconds, and we're going to move right along because we got a call. We got some more work to do. Okay. Y'all bow your heads with me real quick. And with the congregation, join with this person. And by the way, we love to meet with you and talk with you afterwards, okay? Okay. Join this person, and we'll just repeat this prayer, but mean it in your heart. Say, Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying for me. I present to you my life, my billboard, and all of the junk stuck to it. Wash it clean. Forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord and my Savior. I'm yours now. I will follow you. I will chase you. And I will serve you. Amen. Amen. Y'all, can we give it up for the party that's happening in heaven right now? That's such a big deal. Such a big deal. Best decision you would ever, ever make. Hallelujah. Yes.
Can
we get our prayer team up?
Oh, yeah. Prayer team, if you would mind making your way to the front.
Yeah, if you're on the prayer team, come help us out.
But maybe you're in here today, and maybe you've served Jesus your whole life. Or maybe you just accepted Jesus not too long ago. But there's been some bitterness creep in, or the world has kind of gotten to you, or your old life has creeped back in a little, or maybe you just didn't fully understand what this whole Jesus thing was when you asked Him to be your Lord and Savior, and He's been working on you, and this morning it just clicked and you're like, I'm ready. What we want to do is we want to give you a chance to ask Jesus to clean up those edges of your billboard where things have creeped back in.
You know, let me jump in. Your billboard presenting your life to the world, presenting Jesus to the world. There are moments that you can't help when that June bug flies in and hits you in the face. There are some things that happen to you, and then they get stuck to you. This is where the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of Jesus comes into play. When He can still come and scrape off those things that have been sticking to you and holding you back from what God has called you to do.
or maybe you've been hurt. Maybe somebody took a paint gun and pelted your billboard with it. Maybe somebody has hurt you. And those hurt, that hurt left marks. But you're ready to just give it to God.
Yeah.
This calls for you. It's time to let go and to let God heal you.
Yeah. Heal those broken pieces. Clean up those edges. There are things we can't do by ourselves, but it's all, but God can. So, got a prayer team over here. Amanda's going to join us over. Join Miss Tam over there. I'm going to join Mr. Taylor over here. If we can pray for you, if we can believe with you, that it is our joy, it is our honor to get to step into the presence of God with you. Worship team, let's worship. Let's pray.
If I want you to walk out of here with anything, if it's just one thing that you walk out of here with, it's that Jesus loves you.
Oh, yes. It's so simple, though. It's so simple. Jesus loves you.
Yeah. And if I want you to take one thing and apply it to your life this week, it would be to love people like Jesus.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. I don't know what else to say to that.
It's simple, but it's hard.
Yeah, that's a good thing to add to that.
But at the end of the day, Jesus loves you. We're called to be like Jesus, and we're called to love people like Jesus.
Right.
Now, that doesn't mean that we just blindly comply with things that we know are against the word. If you have not listened to Pastor Ryan's message from last week about the three buckets, there's some bucket one things that you can't just overlook and ignore.
Yeah.
But building relationships with people is how you love them well enough to be able to have hard, honest conversations with them.
Yeah.
So, we love you guys too. I hope you know that.
Well, y'all know how we do it, right? At the end of every service, well, some of y'all don't know. By the way, all of these, not all of these, lots of these extra people, and my dad, it's my dad's side of the family, and it's just an honor to have everybody in church with us. We love you. So glad you're here today. Got some pastors and some farmers, and I don't know what your day job is. They help a ministry with raising cattle. It's awesome. Anyway, so
some missionary farmers.
Missionary farmers, that's what it is. It's a really cool thing. Anyway, but y'all know how we do it. At the end of every service, we like to say something that really drives home who we are in response to who he is. So Jesus said, I am the vine.
We are the branches.
So everywhere you go,
be the branch.
Be the branch. God bless you.